I got to tell you a little story about today's sermon. This is one of the most amazing experiences I've had. I've had in the back of my mind to do some sort of a message because we have many people that are in the valley right now. So I came up with this title based on Lynn Randall's song, "The God of the Mountain is Still the God of the Valley." So last Monday I started working on it, did some study. Tuesday I did some study. Wednesday I come into the office and continued, and it just wasn't working. I just couldn't come with the message that I thought I should give. So I abandoned the thought. Holly had already had the information to put in the bulletin. But I said, it's okay, we can work around that. So I proceeded this, I was here early in the morning. I proceeded to come up with a different message, different title, different scripture, everything. And at the right time, Holly come to work, and she come into my office, and we sat down, had our morning meeting about this and this and that, we need this, need that, etc. And in that conversation, I said, Holly, I says, you know what, the title and the message that I give you just isn't working. I says, so I'm going to come up with a different one, and I'll get the information to you before you need to print the bulletin. Okay. So we just continued having a conversation, and in that conversation, it came out that Carol was talking this previous Sunday to Dave about some songs that she would like to sing in our service. One of them songs was "The God on the Mountain." And this hit me like you wouldn't believe. The Holy Spirit gave me this message to give, and I worked on it, and I was inadequate with it, and I decided to abandon it, and through the efforts that were done during the week, the Holy Spirit slapped me alongside the head and said, no, you're not. You need to do this message. And unlike in the past, I listened to him. And I said, okay, we're going to do this. I don't know how good it'll be, but we're going to do this. And I struggled, really, really struggled to come up with a message that flowed and said what I thought the Holy Spirit wanted to be said here this morning. So here we go. Many times in our lives, we find ourselves in the middle of the valley. We find ourselves that we're weak, and we're tired, and we're empty, and we're alone. We feel so far from the presence of the anointing God. And when we call on Him, we feel like we get a busy signal. So here we are, stuck in the valley. God's not listening to me. I'm tired of the struggle. I'm ready to give up. But I want you to know today that God is not only the God of the mountain, but He is God of every valley that you will face in your life. Can I get an amen? Amen. So as I go through this message, for those of you that are in a valley, I want you to recognize it. And I hope that when we're done here this morning, that you'll be moved and strengthened to reach the mountaintop. In 1 Peter, 1st chapter, verses 6 and 7, it says this: "In all that is greatly rejoiced through now for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." Peter is telling us there is even though we don't feel like it, maybe we don't feel the presence, and that valley is deeper than you thought it should be or would be or could be, that God is there. And we're going to go on here to talk in a few minutes about how we should thank God for being in that valley. Now, I'll bet you never thought you'd hear that this morning. So Peter is saying, rejoice. Well, what do we rejoice? What is there to rejoice in? There is nothing in my life right now that I feel like I can rejoice. This valley is so deep, I don't know if I'll ever get out of it. These issues that are going on, that are disrupting my life, affecting my faith, moving me further away from God, closer to Satan, what is there to rejoice for? Is there something good in all of that? This places in contrast two words that are worlds apart. Rejoice is one of the words, and trial is the other word. How can we ever merge them two words together? Now for a little while, that's when this, in the scripture it says a season. Here the season says, this is just for a little while. It's going to be hard to grasp depending on how deep your valley is. But Peter is telling us that this is only for a little while. When you find God in that valley, it will only be for a season, not forever, even though you may think so. It means that our trials will not last long. And the comparison here is the valley is small. You only be in it for a season, for a short while, compared to eternity. Eternity is huge. Eternity is forever. There are no seasons with eternity. And sometimes, if we don't search for God and find Him when we're in the valley, it may affect our ability to enter into eternity with Jesus Christ. You see, God is in that valley, but so is Satan. But I'm here to tell you that God is closer to the mountaintop than Satan is. God will get you to the mountaintop, and Satan will keep you in the valley. Now, what are valleys? I don't know. It can be a multitude of things. It may be something that's going on in your personal life. Maybe something that's going on in a marriage. It may be something that one of your loved ones is experiencing in a valley and dragging you down with it. It may be the loss of a loved one. It may be the remembrance of your husband or wife that you lost, especially on anniversary dates. Maybe it's health issues. Maybe it's that dreaded word, cancer. Never going to survive this. I am doomed to this valley forever. Yep, you are. Unless you find God. He's there. He's in that valley with you. I don't care how bad it is, how much it affects you, how terrible it, difficult it will be to get out of that valley, God is there with you. And He is showing you the path to the mountaintop. We need always to remember that our trials are only temporary. The things at our fingertips, which we consider to be so valuable, are not really a value. They are simply passing things when measured in the perspective of eternity. All these things are destructible. All these things are corruptible. And they can be defiled. The things of this world do fade away. The things we cannot see are the eternal things. They are the real valley, or the real value. The trials of your faith being much more precious than gold. Peter talked about that. After the gold is mined, it's put into a smelter. And it's melted down. The smelter is a red-hot furnace. And the purpose is not to destroy the gold, but it is to purify the gold. That's what Peter's talking about when he mentioned gold. God is with us in that valley. In that valley, we are in this smelter, in this hot furnace. So we can be purified. And leave that valley. When God tests us today, He puts us into that furnace. He doesn't do that to destroy us or to hurt us or to harm us, but He wants pure gold, and that is the way that He will get it. He wants us to be pure. And that's how we can connect in reference to the smelter. To make gold better than it was before. All of the impurities that are in that gold when it was mined leaves. And all of these impurities that are in us when we enter that valley, God is there to put us into the furnace so we can leave that valley pure than when we went into it. Now that don't seem possible, but that's the facts. That's just how God works. That's how it is. So I believe this. I believe that at the appearing of Jesus Christ, we are going to thank God for our trials. Did you ever make that connection? Why would we do that? Because as a result of being in that valley, through them trials, when we search God, we are pure because of it. And there's nothing more greater that you can thank Jesus Christ for than being made pure through the Holy Ghost. In fact, we may wish we had experienced more of them. Because when we are in his presence, we then will see the value of all of these trials. They won't be a bad memory. They'll be an experience. And experiences always have rewards. We just need to look for them and find them and reach out for God. He is the one that will get us out of our valleys. The valley is a place that our faith is put to test. Oh yeah. There is not an easier time to lose your faith and stop looking for God than when you're in your valley. The deeper the valley, the easier it is to lose your faith. And if you lose your faith, you're not going to listen to God's instructions. You're not going to hear what the Holy Spirit is telling you, what to do, what to say, and how to do it, and how to say it, so you can reach the mountaintop. It's an amazing thing. If we don't have faith, we don't have hearing. Or at least not the hearing we should hear. Mountaintops always look good. But as much as we would like to, we can't live on the mountaintops. We can only visit them. We experience these wonderful mountaintops to prepare us for our valleys. In the valley, our faith is stretched. Let me give you a couple of examples. Mary and Martha were in a valley. Lazarus was sick, so they called on Jesus. But what happened? Jesus didn't come right away. He waited a few days. I think in Mary and Martha's situation, they felt their valley just got deeper. But they kept looking. And lo and behold, here shows up Jesus. Wow, their valley got shallower. They got closer to that mountaintop. They weren't quite there yet, though. Because what's the first thing they said? If only. They were telling Jesus, if only you would have came sooner, you could have saved our brother. Boom, slipped down back in the valley a little further. But Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life, and do you believe? Now, Mary and Martha had lost their faith while they're in that valley. They would have never heard what Jesus had to say for them because they weren't listening. They would have never heard that he is the resurrection and the life, and they would have never heard Jesus ask them if they believe. What a valley of despair to walk through. They had done everything right. They had given to the ministry. They called Jesus when their brother got sick. Jesus used their valley to stretch their faith. What Jesus really was saying is I'm here. In the middle of your valley. And reach for me. And when you do, do you trust me? Here's a little story. Many of us need to be a little more like this little girl. a little girl that a farmer found lost in his meadow. So the farmer said to her, "Do not cry. I'll take you home." The little child snuggled up to him with a smile and said, "I knew you would. I was just waiting for you." "Waiting for me?" the farmer said. "What made you think I was coming?" "I was praying that you would," she said. "Praying? When I first heard you, you were saying A, B, C, D, E, F, G. What was that for?" She looked up again and said, "I'm just a little girl. I was praying all the letters of the alphabet and letting God put them together the way He wanted to. He knew I was lost, and He knew how to put them together better than I do." If you're in a valley today, I encourage you to just sit down and say your ABCs. Search for Christ. A valley is a place of victory. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, it tells us that Israel stood on the edge of the valley for 40 days listening to Goliath. Fear had gripped their hearts. Depression hung heavy over the army of Israel. They were humiliated and they hid in the rocks. Can you imagine 40 days being in a valley listening to Goliath?
Oh, I'm going to beat the jeepers out of you.
40 days. And then, God's great man of war, David, stood that day full of the anointing, proclaiming the power of God over this heathen that defiled the living God. The moment the... the moment the rock hits its mark, victory was heard in the valley. All of the army of Israel rose up to defeat the Philistines' army. God was there. God was in their valley. Victory comes to those that place their trust in Him. Yeah. That's why, when you're in that valley, you need to place your trust in God. Call on your faith. Rise to the mountaintop. Mark 9, verse 17 reads, "And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. The boy appears to be demon-possessed by the way he is acting and things he's doing. The sad thing is that the man brought the boy to the disciples, but they couldn't do anything." Be careful when you're in your valley who you're reaching for. The only one that can help you out of that valley is Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. Mark 9, verses 23 and 24 says, "Jesus said unto him, If thou can't believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine beyond my belief." What the man is saying is Jesus, I believe as far as my earthly faith will take me. Come alongside of me in the midst of my valley and extend my faith. We only need to believe. The valley is a place of assurance, not a place of defeat. No matter how hard it gets, how alone you feel, you can rest on His promises that He will be with you forever. We just need to search for Him and look for Him. There was a young Christian man that used to visit several elderly ladies to read the Bible to. When he came to the end of Matthew's gospel, he read, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age." And he added this, "Isn't that a wonderful promise?" And one lady quickly said, "Young man, that is not a promise. It is a fact." Telling you this morning, it is a fact that God is in your valley with you. It is a fact when you reach out for Him, He will show you the path to the mountaintop. He is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. Not only will He be in our valleys, but He will lead us through. And all of God's people said,